2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And to get the context here this evening, because we're going to be looking at verse number 13 in particular tonight, but to kind of get the context of what we're looking at, I want to start back in verse number 4. Because kind of what we're going to be looking at this evening is something that you deal with concerning Calvinism, okay? Some may take verse 13 or some portions out of verse 14 and or verse 13, I'm sorry, and kind of say that, you know, you're chosen from the foundation of the world. You don't have a choice, that what God determines towards you, you're predestinated either to go to hell or you're predestinated and determined before the foundation of the world to go to heaven. I absolutely do not believe that one bit. That would be kind of a messed up God that did that. God that, to me, in my mind, if a God that did that, it wouldn't be a righteous God. It'd be a pretty cruel God to say, I'm just going to create you to destroy you. What kind of sense does that make? That I'm going to make you just so I can burn you forever? I don't understand that kind of God. So in order to get that context and to try to give the verses here in that context, and with the Lord's help, I hopefully be able to try to explain this. We're going to start in verse number 4 of chapter 2. And the Bible says, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. Verse number 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's verse 13 now. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness. So Lord, I ask for your help tonight, dear God, to explain these passages, dear God. Give what's needed, Lord. Help us to understand what's contained in your word. Lord, that you would be glorified, magnified, and honored, and lifted up. And Lord, we ask this now in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So verses 7 through 13 again. You have in verses 7 through 13 dealing with the tribulation. And then at the end of the tribulation, to where the Lord, it says in verse number 8, the Lord shall consume whom? The Antichrist, that wicked one, with the spirit of his mouth, and he'll destroy him with the brightness of his coming. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second advent, when Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Verse number 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel unto the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So verses 7 through 13 show that individuals, we read it in context, it shows that individuals either receive the gospel or reject the gospel. Look back up there in verse number 10. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. These individuals, prior to the revelation of the Antichrist being revealed, these individuals were offered, given the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were offered the gospel, they were shown the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they didn't receive it because they had no love of the truth. Why? Because they wanted to believe a lie and they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Therefore, because they didn't receive the truth of God, God turned them over to strong delusions that they would be a lie, that they would believe a lie, and that they also would be damned because they did not believe the truth. You see, why would one reject the gospel? Now listen, this is what I believe, brethren. I believe what you take is, sometimes if you have a verse that seems maybe obscure, you don't worry about it. You take the verses that you do know and you stand upon them. And one thing I know we can prove from Scripture is that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all men, and all men have an opportunity to be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ in the age that we're living right now. Okay? There is the opportunity. God just didn't create a group of people from the foundation of the world to be predetermined to die and burn in hell forever, and then create another group of people that were predetermined before time that those people would go and have eternal life. If that's true, and if you take it to its full extent, why are we even in church tonight? If we have no free will, why are we even here? Now, they have their excuses for that. They have their reasonings for it. But ultimately, I look at it like, well, why? If I have no choice in the matter, they'll say, well, you can't resist it. Well, then it's against my will. And just from common sense, if you do something to somebody against their will, it's either kidnap or rape. If I grab up somebody out here, throw them in my car and say, taken off, and they don't want to be in my car, it's called kidnapping. Well, you got to go with me. No, I don't. Yeah, you do, because it's predetermined for you to go with me. No, that's not how God operates. And brethren, what you also get from Calvinism is then God's getting a group of people that really don't love him. They're being forced to love him, or they're being made to love him, and it's not of their own free will and volition. I've said this before, I don't want my wife to be with me just because she's forced to be with me. That's not love. And I think it's vice versa, that she wouldn't want me to be with her if I didn't want to, because that's love. You have relationships because you desire to have those relationships because of love. And it's what I talked about in the Bible study downstairs, brethren. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ desires? He desires what he had there in the garden in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. When he came and he began to call out to Adam in the cool of the day, he wanted somebody to walk with. Look, it's the same thing today. The Lord Jesus Christ, please understand what I'm going to say right now. Please understand what I'm going to say. I believe in learning, I believe in scripture memorization, I believe in trying to know our Bible, rightly dividing, I believe in all those things. But what the Lord is really looking for is someone to just want to love him and spend time with him and fellowship with him. God wants a relationship. Think about if you're married, and you just sit down, and if there was an owner's manual on marriage, and you and your wife, but everything was just so technical, and you went through every rule that was in the book, and you did this and that, and then you look at it, and it's just so, like, cold. And I think sometimes our relationships with God, it gets cold, it gets mundane, it gets like to be a routine. And the Lord, I think says, I want you to stop, and I just want you to spend some time with me. And I think in a lot of our Christian walk, we're just missing that time of just spending time with Jesus. And I think that's what he wants. And when you spend time with him and you fellowship with him in their sweet communion, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Not because you have to do it, but because you want to spend time with him. That's what the Lord desires. He wants somebody to love him because they want to love him, not because they're being forced to love him. That's what Jesus Christ wants. Now, why didn't they receive the love of the truth? Well, we read it there in verses 7 through 11 or 12 that they didn't love the truth and they didn't believe the truth, but they have pleasure and on righteousness. Take your Bible now and look over at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Why did some there in Thessalonica receive the love of the truth, and why did some reject it? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 9. What the Bible says here. He says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Verse 12, go over to chapter 2, verse 12. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12 now. So they received what Paul preached to them, and what they had received in the gospel of Jesus Christ caused them to turn to God and from their idols that they were serving, to worship and to serve the living and true God. Now look at chapter 2, verse 12. "That ye would walk worthy of the God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." So God's called out to them unto his kingdom and glory. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Because look what this word says here. "Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now hold your hand there and look back over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse number 10. So in the first letter that he wrote to those at Thessalonica, he said, "You received it. What we preached, the gospel we put out of the Lord Jesus Christ, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth." They received the truth, that word of God, which effectually worked in them that believed. Now look what happens in verse number 10 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why did they perish? "Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." One group, when the gospel's preached to them, they received the love of the truth. They received the word of God. They received the gospel that's being preached to them. That gospel is effectual. That gospel is so effectual that it caused them to turn from their idols, and they turned and served the true and living God. They were born again. And then you had another group of people, when the truth was preached to them, they received not the love of the truth. They did not want Jesus Christ. They rejected it. And the Lord says in the latter days, those that reject it, they're going to be sent strong delusions that they might be believe a lie, and they will not be saved because they have pleasures in unrighteousness. They rejected the truth when shown to them. Take your Bible, look over at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Brethren, I guess what I'm saying tonight is you have a choice. You have a choice either to receive or to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. You make that decision. You make that decision. Do you seek God and want God, or do you reject God and put God away? John chapter 14, and look at verses 15 through 17 here. Look what verse 15 says. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, when I was a little kid, I was taught my opposites. So if this verse says, Jesus says, if, which means there's a condition there. That means if ye love me, which means that there is an opportunity that you could hate him. No, my opposites, love and hate. So Jesus says, if ye love me, would also mean also that there's an opportunity to where you can hate him. So that is a choice and a decision that you make. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And look what he says in verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even," look what the Bible says here, "even the Spirit of truth," look what the Bible says, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Look, The Lord Jesus Christ is telling the disciples, listen, he has not gone to the cross yet. He hasn't died for our sins yet. Technically, this is still in the Old Testament economy. He hasn't paid the price yet for our sins. He hasn't been buried. He hasn't been risen again. He hasn't given the comforter yet. He's telling the brethren here, the disciples, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Well, why can't the world receive it? Because they don't want to receive it. Take your Bible, hold your hand there, and flip over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Brethren, it's coming soon, and I think it's already, we're seeing the precursors of it. I think we're seeing the beginnings of it, the seeds of it, of this world and the blindness that is quickly happening to the majority of this world. Because, not because they've been predetermined to do this, but because they have rejected Jesus Christ. It's not, this is not being done against their will. They are willfully doing it. Okay, look at 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, even the spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in what? In the world. Jesus said back over there in John chapter 14 that the world cannot receive it. Why? Because they don't want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number, let's see here. Verse number 4, 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth us not. We should not be surprised, brethren, when we go out there and try to witness to people and they don't receive it. Because if later, previous in 1 John, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Listen, we're not to love the world. And we need to realize, as John's telling the brethren here, he's saying, listen, you go out there in this world and you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the majority of them are not going to receive it because they have pleasure in unrighteousness. And they're going to reject the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're going to have a spirit of anti-Christ. They're going to be against Jesus. And you see it out here today, brethren, there is a multitude of people that are against the true Jesus Christ of this Bible. There's a false Jesus going around that this world's receiving, but it's not the Jesus Christ of this Bible. They have a choice. They are not forced to do so. They choose to do so. Now, let me see here a second. All right. Look what it says there in verse number 1 John 4. Let's see here. Yes. 1 John 4. Look at verse number 1 again. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. Now, the verse that I'm going to get back to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen you, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We read in 1 John chapter 4 that there's going to be many false prophets that are going to go out into the world. But look what Peter says in chapter 2, verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Look at this. Even denying the Lord that bought them. He bought them. Look, they're not predetermined to everlasting destruction. They were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, just like the individual that receives the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus bought them with his blood, but the problem is they denied him. They denied the Lord Jesus Christ who has bought them, and guess what happens when they do that? And bring upon themselves swift destruction. That goes right along what we're reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The gospel of Jesus Christ is presented. They receive not the love of the truth that they might believe a lie. Therefore, they perish. Right here you find in 2 Peter chapter 2, you got false prophets that come into the world. They're false teachers. They'll bring in damnable heresies. And they'll deny the Lord that bought them. His blood is not just, there's not just a limited atonement. His blood covers the sins of all mankind, even these false prophets and teachers that deny him. His blood, the Bible shows right here, his blood bought them as well, but they denied it. Now, the Lord God provides a salvation for all, not just an elect few whom he has chosen. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs 29, verse 13. Proverbs 29, look at verse number 13. Proverbs 29, and look at verse number 13. The Bible says here, Proverbs 29, 13, the poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. God enlightens, or God lighteneth both the poor man and also the deceitful man. The poor and deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. God gives them both and enlightenment to what truth is. Take your Bible, flip over to Romans chapter 1. Brethren, I am fully convinced with scriptures that we're going to look here that it definitely proves that what we're looking at in verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 has nothing to do with God choosing somebody from the foundation of the world. Look at Romans chapter 1 and look at verse 17. Romans 1, verse number 17. Look what the Bible says. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God, look where it says, is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. It's not just the elect. It's everything that God has made clearly sees and knows, if they're honest, that there is a creator that made it all. By the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Brethren, there's going to come a time soon that men are going to stand before God Almighty at that great white throne judgment, and there will be no excuses at all. Listen, I guarantee it, and I say it out there, every one of us at some point, unless the Lord comes back, we're taking our last breath. You're taking your last breath at some point. And when you take that last breath, and you cross over into the other side, you're going to have to give an account to the Creator. And the Bible says here in Romans 1, there's going to be no excuses. Well, Lord, I just didn't have time. Well, God, I just didn't know. Well, Lord, you just didn't show me. Well, God, I didn't have good parents. Well, God, I didn't have a Bible. Well, God, I was raised in this culture. Well, God, I was in this country. Well, God, I was poor. Well, God, I was rich. Well, God, I had too much education. Well, God, I had no education. They will be without excuse. But you know what we're giving our society today, especially here in the United States of America? We're teaching, especially our young people, that there's an excuse for everything. Well, I'll tell you why, boss. I didn't make it to work this morning because I didn't get good sleep last night, so I'm not going to come to work today, or I got a little cold and I'm sniffling and I can't make it to work, or an excuse. And someday they're going to think they're going to get home to heaven to God and say, God, here's my excuse of why I didn't do something. And God's going to say, there is no excuse. Look what he says, verse 21. Why is there no excuse? Because the sentence continues. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And what happens when you become vain in your imagination? Your foolish heart will be darkened. Brethren, the question this evening is not, am I one of the elect? The question is, have you rejected the truth and the light that God's given you? The question is this, the little bit of light or the truth that God's shown you, what do you do with the truth that God bears witness to your soul that he is the creator and you are his creation and it's with him with whom you got to do someday? What do you do with the truth that's given to you? Do you just let it go in one ear out the other? Do you put it off to the side? Brethren, listen, truth is handed to you. You can reject it or say, not today, maybe tomorrow, and you put the truth there. But look, this is what happens. When truth is shown to you, when truth is revealed to you, it's like a flashlight. And that flashlight of truth that God gives you will lead you down the right path. If you're lost, eventually it's going to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is a life. But the word of God is also the truth, and it's like a flashlight. Thy word is like a lamp unto my feet and like a light unto my path. You start getting truth and you start giving people the word of God, you're giving them a flashlight because they walk in a dark world. Now, if they're smart, they'll take that truth that you've given them. They're not saved yet. They're showing a semi-love to what the truth you're showing them. And if they'll take that flashlight of God's word and they start letting it shine in their life and lead and direct it, that flashlight is going to lead them down that right pathway that is ultimately going to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. It's going to lead to the cross, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what most people do is they get that flashlight. They take a little bit of truth, they take a little bit of light, they start walking down that pathway a little bit, and they're like, maybe later on, and they lay the flashlight down. But when you lay the flashlight down, now you're going off of your own reasoning and your vain imaginations, and if you get far enough away from it, you might want to try to get back to it, you might not be able to get back to it. Brethren, some people preach and teach that God will always be for me, and God will always answer, not my friend. Read Proverbs chapter 1. Brethren, God is not a genie in a bottle. Well, I'll just rub the bottle and whenever I'm ready, I'll get saved and come to, you don't play games with the Creator. Well, I'll come to him in that's what you're saying. God, I'll come to you in my time frame. No, my friend, you come to God in his time frame. You're not playing around with God. Well, maybe someday, God, I'll come to you. Someday I'll get in church. Someday I'll start reading my Bible. Someday I'll start getting serious about the things of God. No, my friend, there may never be a someday. Today might be the only day that you got. So what happens is they let that flashlight over there. They choose to leave that flashlight over there, which is the word of life, the word of truth, the light of the gospel of Jesus. And they leave it there. And because they're becoming vain in their own mind, they start thinking in their own mind, they start reasoning in their own mind, and it leads them down a foolish road, and their heart is darkened. Their heart is darkened. You know why? Because what God's looking for? God's looking for the heart. There's many today that have given him the mind, but I don't think they've ever given him the heart. And the Bible says here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 21, that their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. I mean, they worship this earth. They worship the chickens. They worship the frogs. They worship the whales. They worship everything that is out there rather than the one who made those things. You see what happens in verse 24. Brethren, this is all against Calvinism. This Romans chapter 1, if you're honest, this is totally against Calvinism. Because look what happens when they reject the truth. Wherefore, in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God says, you want to follow your own lust? You want to do your own thing? You want to go your own way? You're going to reject, continually reject the things that I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to help you. You're not going to be thankful that I'm giving you life another day. You're not going to give me the thanks that I deserve as a creator. And you're going to go on in your vain imagination and your foolish heart keeps getting darkened. God says, okay, go ahead. And you're going to, the Bible says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. That's where you're at today, brethren. You know why you got all this sexual perversion in the United States of America? Because the United States of America as a whole has rejected God. They've thrown God into the trash can. They've thrown His Word into the trash can. They've thrown the Ten Commandments into the trash can. They've thrown prayer into the trash can. And God says, okay, I'm going to turn you over to your unclean lusts. And you're going to do things with your bodies that's unclean. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worship and serve the creature more than the creator who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. They had an opportunity to follow God. They had an opportunity for the truth. They rejected it. They went after their own lust. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are against nature. If anybody ever comes up to you, and I've seen this nonsense sometime on the internet. Well, God only talks about a man with a man and a woman with a woman in the Old Testament. No, He talks about it in the New Testament if you read your Bible. And it's right here in Romans chapter 1. It's against nature for a man to be with a man, and it's against nature for a woman to be with a woman. It says it right here, Romans chapter 1, verse number 27. So don't tell me it's an Old Testament thing. It's also a New Testament thing. Verse number 28. And even, look what it says here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. They chose. They chose to reject God. They chose to go their own way and follow their own lust and their own imaginations. And it's been that way from the beginning of time, man doing what man wants to do and rejecting the love of God. Now take your Bible, look back over here at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 13. What has God chosen them to? The Bible says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. What are you chosen to of salvation from the beginning? What this means here, I believe, if I can explain it right, listen, from the very beginning of time, the Lord God Almighty knew that the Son, the second part of the Godhead, would have to die for the sins of all mankind. When God made His creation from the beginning, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this thing did not catch them by surprise after they created it. It isn't like God created all things through the word and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to the Father, uh-oh, they're doing something that we didn't plan for. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the Father knew, the Holy Spirit knew that from the very beginning, God was going to have to die for the sins of mankind. It just didn't dawn on him after Adam sinned in the garden. Adam didn't sin in the garden and now God's up in heaven pacing thinking to the Son, what are we going to do now? Son, you're going to have to go. No, they knew. God knew that the Son would have to die for the sins of mankind. And the Bible says here, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Listen, you want to get in to heaven? You have to get in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is the chosen. He was the one chosen from the foundation of the world, the one that was going to going to have to die for the sins of all mankind. And if you are now, listen, brethren, and I'm not going to go through all of it this evening. If you are now in Christ Jesus, you are now the elect, because Christ is the elect. You are now the chosen. Christ was the chosen. Because you're in him, you are now saved, and it's all because of Christ. Nothing because of you. If you're in Christ, you're safe. Because he was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right? Beginning chosen, from the beginning chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The question is not, am I one of the elect? That's not the question. Rather, the question is, do I desire and seek God with all my heart? We just don't sit there and say, well, and brethren, this is a pretty damnable doctrine. Because some of the old Anabaptists up there in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains would teach Calvinism. And there was a man that my pastor, Pastor Jonathan Doss, talks about, that they would try to witness to them, and you could not witness to them because it had been so ingrained in them from the time they were little that you're predetermined to go to heaven or hell. And you would try to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and their answer would be, well, if it be God's will, then I will. And if it's all up to God. I have no choice or decision in the matter. It's predetermined. That's damnable. You're damning a soul right there. You have a choice. Now look at Romans. We're going to close with this verse right here, and then we'll look at the rest next week. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Look what Romans chapter 6 and verse 17 says. Romans chapter 6. And look what look what Paul tells the church there. Romans 6, 17. Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What was that doctrine? What was that teaching? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. They came in there, Paul came in there, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to these individuals. And Paul says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. They believed the gospel of Jesus Christ when it was preached unto them, and they chose to believe it. They weren't forced to believe it. And they believed it from the heart, and it transformed their lives and made them a new creature in Jesus Christ. We're going to stop there this evening. There's a lot more verses that I want to look at concerning this thing, that we're chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. We'll look at that a little bit more next week, but let's go ahead and pray here. Lord, I thank you for this day, dear God. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I pray that some of these things made sense. Some of it's hard to explain. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that these verses will come to light. Lord, that we would see, dear God, that we have a choice and we have a decision in the matter. Lord, you're not a God that forces yourself upon anyone. Lord, you give us the opportunity either to receive the gospel or to reject the gospel, to receive the truth or to turn from the truth. So, Lord, help us to see these things, dear Lord, that you've died for all mankind. And Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, you're not willing that any should go to hell. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us to see these things, dear God. Help us to walk in the light of them. Help us to understand them. And Lord, help us to grow closer to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we love you more in these last days. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise for it. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.